cool stories, right? David and Goliath. But we didn't know exactly where to go with certain situations in our lives. So I felt, and I apologize for my voice, I felt like God was saying, hey, let's create certain categories and then subtitles in there. For example, God promises to offer me comfort or direction and forgiveness and protection. And it has a page number. And so we'd go to the page and we'd start to talk about it. And the kids would read it. And so what we did is I printed out one and gave them two others. They would go look for themselves at home, or they'd do it in class. And so they had all different ways that they were, you know, most kids, they write in font like 72, right? Depending on how old the child is, right? And so they all had different variables. One young man, he was very smart. His name was Michael. And that was another thing we had to do. We had to remember every kid's name by the end of the week. Isn't that right, Sky? Yeah, and I messed up constantly. Yeah, Louisa was my worst. That was the worst one. It took me 10 minutes to learn that name. Anyway, Michael, he was like, oh, you wanted me to write out the scripture? I thought you wanted me to tell you what the scripture was about. Oh, by all means, share with us what it's about. And so he said, well, that one's about this. And he tell me what? I was like, you're right on there. And he said, because I told him, I gave him homework. I said, you had to go home and write three scriptures down that you found in there and write them out. Three segments, right? So he went to three segments and told me what each section was about. I thought, man, what a smart kid. He was in fourth grade. Wasn't he in fourth grade? Yeah, he was in fourth grade, right. He was in first through fourth and then fifth through eighth. I got it's like a little house on the prairie at school over there. It's kind of cool. Okay, so I want to stop there, but I want Sky to come because this week, did you want to sit down, Sky?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, please come sit down. And can I get the mic from you guys? Is that okay? Beautiful. I was going to catch that, Byron. And Sky here, I like it when you sit down, Sky. We can talk right on. That's right. Thank you. There you go. Yeah, I'm almost feeling a little taller than you. Okay, so Sky was my hero all week. Diana Viscichel actually called him my sidekick because we did a skit every morning. I'll get into the skits later. We did a skit every morning for the kids, and we'll get to that later. But I want to get serious with you, Sky, because I know that's what you had asked me to do. Don't get all goofy on me. Just let's get... Okay, I'm back. Okay. Sky, let's start from day one to day five. Somewhere in there, give me three things that you kind of picked out that were just highlights of your week hanging out with 50-some-odd kids from preschool to eighth grade.
Okay. Day one, I didn't know really what to expect from all this. When you asked me to do the week of prayer, I was like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll go and help out. And it was totally different than what I did expect, you know. For one, doing skits in front of 50-plus kids, you know, I had to kind of train myself to get into that mode. And had a lot of fun. But, you know, day one, it was, you know, the kids were, I could tell they were kind of closed, and they weren't opening up, and, you know, it took a while for them to warm up. But, you know, after day three, there was this huge transformation. I couldn't believe it, and I saw these kids just, like, coming out of the woodworks where they were just a totally different person. And I received such a blessing just from being in their lives for that week, you know. And I really felt that the Holy Spirit, there are two spirits, was moving and it was there with us for sure. And so just in also with just getting to know, another highlight, getting to know the teachers and the principal and interacting with them and becoming, developing our relationships with them, I think that was also a high point for me. And so it was, I received a huge blessing by being there, and I could feel God working in my life after that as well. So from being there and spending that 2 hours in the morning, or wherever, you know, it varied, but throughout the day, it was like God sees everything that we do and we say. And He blesses us according to what we're doing and how we're living our lives. And I felt just the Spirit didn't leave me the rest of that day, the week, you know, it was amazing. So
can you pick out two kids that just kind of caught your eye that you were like, I know there's more than two, but.
Well, for one, Marcia.
Marissa?
Is it Marissa?
Marissa. Her
is
sister's
it?
Luisa.
Luisa and Maria.
Yeah.
Okay. Marissa. Marissa.
It is. The
okay. The little Samoan girl?
Yeah.
Yeah. She just attached herself to me. Like, she, after day two, she would just run up to me and just, like, give me these big old hugs.
Yeah.
And it was so sweet of her, like, on her recess, on her break, she wanted to share, like, every little candy or little snack that she had. She'd run up to me and give me this one little jelly bean or just one little, you know, just it was one little carrot. And I was like, oh, how can I say no to that? I have to eat it, even if I don't know where her hands have been, you know. But she wanted to, like, feed it to me, too. And I was like, oh, okay, you know, Lord bless it, and I'll be fine. But she's something special, and she definitely stood out. And so another child, I don't know, you know, the older kids are harder to read. They're harder to, they don't open up as quickly as the young folk. But
the old folk versus the young folk.
Right, right. So, that's tough. I don't know. Probably, I saw a lot of hurt in struggles going on with these kids. You know, I think I've been given the gift to read people, and so no one else in particular, but I did see a lot of struggles going on there.
You could see them holding on luggage.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
yeah.
For sure. So.
Okay, so what was your favorite day out of the whole week?
That was probably Wednesday.
Wednesday.
When we had the transformation happen. You know, the Spirit was just moved through that school and us. And
it did.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was really awesome.
We got to participate. Is there anything you'd want to share about the rest of the week that you haven't said so far?
I think it's drawn me closer, you know, with my walk too. Just realizing that I need to be more involved. I need to plug myself in to these kind of put myself in these situations, and I think I was, you know, born to help people and to do that type of, you know, those type of things. So I realized that I need to be more involved with the kids, I think. Yeah.
Awesome. Can we pray for this guy? I love you. Father, we just thank you right now for this young man who not too long ago was baptized. And he's given his life to you. He surrendered his entire life to you. And here he has given a week of prayer to work with these 50 kids who just can't get enough of this guy. Lord, we ask to bless him, to give him direction and wisdom and understanding. Speak to his heart, Lord. Teach him. Teach him, Lord. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Anything else?
Tissue.
There you go. Awesome. Can I have a hug?
Proud of you, Steve.
Whoa.
Thank you. My, yes, Grandma. Yeah. 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 Some things happened this week. Sky and I showed up. We did a skit every day. And our skits, the first one started out, it was kind of fun, because Sky came in late. And, no, Sky, I already asked Sky, and Sky said, no, we're not going to do that. And so maybe we'll be able to do it another time. But the first one was, we were going to hit the issue that we wanted to talk about right away. It was about promises. And so I got up front and I started to share with kids. Hey, kids, how y'all doing? Nice to see you and everything. And then Sky comes walking in and I stop everything. I'm like, oh, hey, Sky. Nice of you to show up. And he come walking up and I razzed him really hard about, dude, you promised me yesterday that you were going to come to my house and pull weeds and help clean up my yard. And he goes, well, no, it's like this. Well, technically, I didn't promise. And then I looked at him and I said, you don't remember grabbing my face like this and say, Tony, I promise I'm going to be there? No, technically, I don't remember really promise. No, you, and we went on and on and on, and I played it up really good with a smushy face. And when you got kindergartners to eighth graders that are like, dude, you guys are cheesy, and these guys are eating it up. You're playing with the crowd, you know. And he's like, but you promised. Yeah, and then he kind of looked at me, he's like, yeah. And then he walked off, and he went and sat down, and we got into God promises me. That day, so we had an opening to communicate with the kids. See, when you smile, or you chuckle, or your eyes light up a little bit when someone says something, you just opened your heart to listen to what that person is saying to you. Yeah. Did you know that? Everybody's head's going, huh? See, you just did it again. You just opened your heart up to let God work in your life right then by smiling. If God is communicating the gospel to you through a human, whether it be shaking somebody's hand, saying, hello, how are you? Or asking for forgiveness in a store because you had an attitude with them and you know it, and you went back to the clerk and you said, could you forgive me? I came across as very rough. Would you forgive me? Are you okay? Amen. Would you forgive me? Amen. I forgive you. Thank you. I'm sorry. And then you get to walk away. You know, those types of things, people's lives change in an instant. Sometimes it's for a lifetime. Sometimes it's just for an instant, though. And they go back to the way they are. But there was an instant of the gospel being communicated about who he was. Jesus said, if you forgive them, I can forgive you. So we have 50-some-odd kids that one of the teachers told us that when they're coming in through the parking lot, the parents are like, get in the school. They're beating them. Backhanding them. Stop that. Hi, nice to see you, teacher. Good to see you. Good in class. My mom, she would do the, she would, man, I would stand at attention when my mom would do this. You ready? Watch. She'd snap her fingers, man. I knew I was in trouble. She's snapping her fingers at me. We all have parents that have done and said different things that get our attention, right? Yeah. And sometimes we listen to obey, or sometimes we just, man, I'm going to pay the consequences. I don't care. Right? So we went through and we went, let me see, I can't remember what Tuesday was, but I remember what was Wednesday, the camo day? Wednesday was camo day? No, Thursday was camo day. Wednesday was camo day.
No, Thursday.
When was camera day?
Oh, camera.
Yeah, what was camera day?
That was the day after.
Was it? Friday. Okay, anyway, I'm sorry. I should have written all this down. Anyway, we went into where Sky showed up in full camo gear. Okay, he was wearing BDU pants, battle dress uniform pants. He was wearing the wrong shoes. The pockets were all undone. He was wearing a battle dress uniform blouse on top for a junior ROTC program. And then he was wearing some DC, I don't know, your shoes. I was just looking at the logo. What? Yeah, DC hat, you know, but it was some, you know, camouflage. And we started, you know, talking to all the kids and said, hey, and then here comes Scott. He comes marching into the room with his Bible in his hand. And I'm like, oh, Jan, huh? Well, soldier, what are you doing? And he flips it right open. He goes to, hold on, I got to get to that page so I can read it for you. It was under obedience, wasn't it, Scott? Page 7. So what we were doing is when we started to do this, Scott's like, oh, I was reading in obedience. Hey, oh, you were? What page was it on? He'd say, page 7. Well, the kids had all these, right? So the kids would go, oh, page 7. That was an easy clue, right? So, man, they flip over to page 7. We're reading obedience. And he goes, it says John 14:21. And he's standing all still, right? Who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. And he who loves me, he will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and show myself to him. Wow, obedience. And he said, I just felt like I needed to be a good soldier for Jesus. And I was looking at him like, but your uniform's not ironed. Your pockets are all done. You're wearing the wrong boots. And what's with that cover? Could somebody be so kind as to get me a glass of water? You got some here? Oh, I got a big old Crystal Lake here. Awesome, excuse me. That's a, keep it right there. Okay, honey, thank you. I'm sorry, I'm just fighting through the rest of this. And as I picked out things, he had threads hanging off and this and that. And he goes, I know I don't look right, but I just felt like I needed to be obedient to God. And I was like, wow, that's really good. And then I said, geez, I wonder what else is in our promise book that would be kind of relate to what Sky was doing here. Man, pages started ripping through this thing and they started coming up. Man, hands started going up. And it just wasn't the little folk up front. It was the older kids in the back that started engaging with, well, I want to play. You know, one kid said, Paige, you know, Damien, he was a tough kid. Excuse me. He was the one that, he's the kind of one, if you talk to him wrong, he'd say, man, why are you getting up all in my face? Like, get away from me. He'd be just real, real harsh. But he wasn't talking harsh that day, and he put up his hand, and I said, well, what's up with you, Damien? He goes, how about wisdom? Oh, dude, that's a good one. What page is that on? Man, pages started rustling. Page 15. So we went to page 15, and we read out Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Oh, that's a good one. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Oh, man, that's a good one, isn't it, Sky, for a good soldier like you, isn't it? And he'd be like, yeah, and he'd salute, you know, all wrong, doing stuff. And then he started making faces behind me. Because he was standing at attention, and I'd be talking to the kid. And he would go like this, and everybody started laughing. I'd look at him, and he'd stand straight still. I'm like, dude, really? Come on, seriously. We're trying to teach the kids here. But no, we were teaching the kids the whole time. So when you got 50 people saying, well, hey, I need one of those things. Where's mine? Who's got their Bible with them? And I want to know. I need to know those things. Well, man, we started finding out not everybody really knows God's Word like they say they know God's Word. So you just need a little help to get there. So when you get there, sometimes you can read a little before and a little after so that you change. The kids wanted to dig. Little Marissa, yeah, I said that right. I was thinking Louisa, sorry. Little Marissa, that's her older sister. Little Marissa, she had already filled out half of this thing and written out all the scriptures. And there was two for each category. She's like, look. And I had some amazing facts, Bible studies for the kids. I had these for them, which was really cool. You know, you get a kid a prize. Candy, chocolate bars, cotton candy. They'll do just about anything for you, won't they? And so I didn't have any of that, but I had those Bible studies. The younger kids, although they couldn't read just yet, you know what they were doing with them? They carried them everywhere they went in school. Amen. They was like, hey, look at this one young lady got prayed for. This is Jenny Lee. Jenny Lee, beautiful little girl, Jenny Lee. And she just doesn't know how to speak just right just yet. She's got a speech impediment. We won't pray for Jenny Lee. That God just helps all the things upstairs there start working. So she knows what she's saying. Yeah. And but there was a video, and she was communicating about Band-Aids and how she got hurt. only because I knew where she was pointing and where stuff was, so I could identify with that, not what she, with what she said. But there was other kids there that could communicate very, very well, as Sky said, that they were dealing with junk in their trunk that they had to bring to school in their backpack and in their lunchbox. You know, those little trigger things that when you're growing up, that you end up remembering things when you see things, when God's trying to deal with stuff in your life and you don't want to. Until you see that, you know, friendly dinosaur on the lunchbox and it triggers a memory and you shove it down by doing a number of things like we learned last week with Candace and myself about we feed the pain, we drink down the pain, we use other things to get rid of those things that are going on, you know what I'm saying? And then you've got kids that are, you know, they're like, oh yeah, really, are you real? Are you serious? Real? Really? Really? Whatever. Then you know you got kids that come into school and, man, everybody's sitting in this section over here, and then you got one sitting way over there by Angela, all by herself. And you're like, okay, issues. Beep, beep, beep. Warnings, you know. And so I asked if the chair next to her was taken. And she said, no. And I got to sit next to her and we got to sing songs and just kind of hang out, and there's stuff going on with her. Physically, she doesn't know why, but she's losing weight. Her clothes are falling off of her and she is skinny little lady. Always long hair and this skinny little girl. She can't keep food down. She can't eat right. She can't gain weight. She doesn't know where mom is and she doesn't have a dad, but she's going to that school. You got other kids where Wednesday, Wednesday was the big one. Wednesday, you know, we were going through all this. I can't remember what skit we did, but Wednesday we had an opportunity. We got to sit with the old kids. And upstairs with the old kids, what's kind of cool is they got couches and chairs for them. I don't know if you've ever been to the school there, but they got couches and chairs for them. And the principal wasn't there. So I was thinking, what a great opportunity to have some breakthrough with the kids. So Sky and I sat down and I was kind of like, okay, Lord, where do you want to go with this? I have a captive audience and they're pretty comfy in these chairs. What do you want to do? And so the Lord impressed me to start asking some fun questions. Man, if you could change anything in this school, what would you do? Oh man, we had some doozy answers there. And while the substitute teacher was there, one of the kids even spoke up and said, get rid of the substitute teacher. That was Miss Diana Viscichel. Don't do this and don't do that. Don't put your foot on this and don't do this. And she goes, I know I'm like that, but they're not going to do that. And the kids are like, oh man, I just want to go to school.
Right.
So then you had a bunch of other things the kids said. And then I said, well, if you had $1 million, what could you do with $1 million without giving it away, but make sure that every one of your students in class pass and graduate and go on to college, what would you do? Oh, we had some doozy answers with that because it made them think out of their comfort zone what they were expecting because they're in school, they're supposed to learn. $1 million and I can't give it away. Man, we were talking about teleporting around the world and doing instruction and teach, and I was like, man, that's kind of a cool idea, man. That's like everybody has their own Learjet and they're learning in school. That was kind of cool. And then I said, then the Lord said, well, ask them how their house is doing. What's everything going on in the house? What are you talking about? I said, well, how's your mama doing? Oh, man. This is what happened. Mama's stressed out. Really? One after kid, after another. Mom's stressed out. She's stressed out. Oh, yeah, mine too. Yeah, mine too. Mine's way stressed out. Oh, my God, my mama's stressed out. Wow, your mama's stressed out. Oh, man, my mama's so stressed out. Like, wow, that's intense. My mama's stressed out. And then the question came, well, how about the dads? I ain't got a dad. Mine's in prison. I don't even know where he is. Oh, okay. Who else? My dad, man, he just comes home and does nothing. Oh, really? One after another. Yeah, my daddy doesn't do nothing. My daddy's a satanic worshiper. My daddy does this. My daddy does that. He doesn't do nothing around the house. He just comes home, puts his feet up, and does nothing. Oh, mama's stressed out. Oh, yeah, mama's so stressed out. She does everything. She does everything. Dad, he just stressed out. He don't do nothing. Oh. And then the Lord said, hey, Tony, what about you? So I shared my story about how of a bad dad I used to be, to where God's showing me how to be a good daddy, to where my kids like hanging out with me, and they like the relationship I'm having with my wife. And I said to him, this is what I said to him. I said, guys, as a dad, who was messed up and who's got right with God, as long as they're breathing, your daddy, there's what? There's hope for you, daddy. I said, I'm going to step out on a limb here and I'm going to say this. I'm going to say, and I asked them all, look me right in the eye. Look me square in the eye. I said, would you please forgive me as your dad? And I'm ashamed for all your dads that I have not been the dad that you've wanted me to be as long as you can remember. Man, you saw deer in headlights click over and you saw faces go, what is he talking about? And you saw other faces just start to change. And right at that moment, there was breakthrough because I said, would you please forgive me? And they said back to me, I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. Some did, some didn't, but there was things that were going on that they were forgiving their dads for not being good dads. And that was hardcore. Now, I know with my own dad, I've had to do that with my own dad. I called him up while I was driving down the road and said, dude, I forgive you for never being my dad. And he's like, okay, son, good for you. I'm glad you got that out of your system. I felt better. Because I was like letting him have it too. I was like, dude, seriously. Okay, all right. But I got better. See, it's amazing how a dad has the kingpin piece in a household that if dad's heart ain't right, the rest of the family's hearts are troublesome. Agreed?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Why is it that Jesus always talked about the relationship with his father so much? Man, me and my father were one. What would it be like if our kids said, my daddy and I were one? I never had a chance to do that. My kids got a chance to do that. I don't know how much of one they want to be like me, but the godly part is what I'm talking about, right? And we have, and I don't mean to blow this off, but yes, this movie, Courageous, has come out. But this has been something that's been on my heart for a very long time, is that dads, we suck. We tanked. We blew it. If we had our dads that were here for me, I'm 47, my dad was here, he'd say it. He'd go, yeah, I did. But they're breathing, there's hope. There's hope for the dads of today with college-age kids. There's hope for these kids at this school that their dads aren't being who they are. Guess what? Communicating forgiveness, which was one we sat a lot on in Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Man, as family members, we got complaints all day long. Don't we? Mom! Sissy hit me again! Mom! Brother took my shoes again! I mean, we know the complaints that are there. We know the complaints between husbands and wives aren't so nice. They're a lot more cutting to the point, aren't they? God promises me. Boy, He creates a lot of promises in God's Word that some of us aren't taking the time to get into God's Word and find out what it really says in the Gospels. As I learned this morning from Doug, that the love of the Father who's in the Son and the Son is in the Father and we are in Him, in Jesus, that we can have that same forgiveness and that same love that He has if we're willing to let go of the bitterness and the junk in your trunk.
Amen.
That was awesome. She said it with the right attitude too. That was great. God bless kids. Don't they just get it so quick too, don't they? Don't kids just go, uh-huh, I got it. I forgive you, but I just hit you. I know, but I forgive you. What happened to us old folk? What happened to us? We're going to let people in church beat us up? We did. Used to. Don't anymore. Is it going to happen again? Yeah, pretty sure it's going to happen again. So, but do we hold on to that? And that's the only thing we talk about? This is my hurt, and I'm keeping it, and it's mine. As a doctor, I shared with Doug this week, we were telling stories this week, I was saying, okay, if this is the patient, right? Hold on, I need Sky. Sky, can you come be my patient? Come sit down, patient. Patient Luke, come sit down. Now, as a patient, you come into the doctor and you say to the doctor, it hurts, right? Tell me it hurts, Sky.
It really hurts.
Where does it hurt, Sky?
In my knee.
In your knee. So what does the doctor do? So where does it hurt?
Well, it really hurts in my heart.
Oh, now it hurts in your heart. But you said that it hurts in your knee. Now show me where in your knee it hurts.
Right there.
Right, exactly right there?
Yeah, right there.
Right in there.
Yeah.
Really? So when the doctor goes to you and he goes, huh, right there, what does he start? Here, just turn around over here because we're working on your knee. He starts feeling, does it hurt here? And what do you say?
No.
Does it hurt over here?
Mm-mm.
Does it hurt up here?
No.
Okay, good. Just check it. Does it hurt down here?
A little bit.
Okay, good to know. Get it over. Let me take it on that. And then he said, how about over here?
Yeah.
Right there?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
But you said it hurts. How about over here?
No, right here.
Right there?
Yeah.
Okay, right there?
Ow.
Right there?
Ow.
Right there?
Ow.
And what does the dog do? And he starts, and you're like, ah! Right? If God has given, we found out we're hurt. Right? There's pain. Pain is a good indicator we're hurt. Right? Not an open wound. Not where you need stitches or anything. That's kind of obvious. It's the one on the inside. Right? So when God starts to identify that there's hurt there and He's knowing where the pain is and only you know where that pain is because you just identified it by telling stories, by smiling and, I know what you mean. Right? So when you go to God and say it hurts, if we're willing to say it hurts to Him, it hurts a lot right there, wow, 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 then He goes, okay, I've got medicine. You do. I got medicine for you, Sky.
You got the antidote?
I got the cure. Do you want it?
Yeah.
You want it?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Thanks for coming today. Glad you have you. Here's your medicine.
Oh.
Now I want you to take your medicine and go home and apply it. My point exactly. Okay, so there it is. But when we go home, thank you, Sky, my wonderful patient. Wonderful patient. Woohoo! Sky tried to apply the medicine, but it didn't get in. He just talked about, this is my hurt. I carry my hurt everywhere I go. I talk about it. When I don't like something, I carry my hurt everywhere I go. See, my hurt, it does nifty things. When I want it to, it'll do. See, my hurt can do that, man. Wow, you like my hurt? Me and my hurt, we go everywhere together. And Jesus is saying, hey, I took care of that. Yeah, I know. Yeah, but you can be free all that. Yeah, I know. Yeah, me and my hurt, we're pals. You've come so close to your hurt that you haven't wanted to let it go be hurt somewhere else and let Jesus by hurt. I'm going to go into God's promise now. Well, no, wait a minute. Just one more. How are you? Good to see you again. Just need to know you're right there. Okay, nope, just that's as far as I can go right now, right? It's right here. My hurt's right here. Bearing with one another. Forgiving one another. That one kind of hurts. That brings up bad memories. If anyone has a complaint against another, oh yeah. Yeah. Even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. Oh. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. I'm gonna go here and okay, I'm all right. Well, wait, but no, okay. I'm gonna do what God says. I'm gonna give up my hurt and I'm gonna surrender to God and I'm gonna move on. I wanna get closer with my friends, my family. I wanna get closer to my kids. But I don't wanna be talked to like that anymore. That's right. I don't wanna be touched like that anymore. That's right. I want to be able to do what I want to do. Well, within reason, he says. you can do whatever you want to do. Yeah, I know, but I have an opportunity to be closer to you. Uh-huh, you do. Yeah. It's a good father. What does he do? I'll give you a hug. We'll leave that over there and I'll have a hug. And so when you're working with 50-some-odd kids, this guy said they come in with a lot of hurt. Man, I drove away Friday afternoon just going, God, what do I do with these kids? He said, you don't have to do anything. Just show up. I can do that. This guy and I can do that. So they invited us back once a month. Okay, we'll go hang out with these bunch of misfit kids. Kind of like every church in the world is a bunch of misfits. Every 7 billion people are a bunch of misfits. It's amazing how when he said, God promises me. And I said, God promises me. And they go, God promises you. And I went, no, not me. You have to say, God promises me. So they all got nice and loud again. God promises me. And we did it again. They did it right. God promises me. It's like, that's right. God does promise you. Anger, confusion, lack of trust, discouragement, doubt and fear and worry and loneliness. We need protection and provision and love, joy and healing. We need direction, comfort, and a whole lot of forgiveness, it seems, more than other times. We shared God's word. We shared some stories today. This guy shared his heart. He was in tears the whole time he was telling it to us. We talked about hurt. Maybe today we can take a few minutes and we can pray and we can ask the Lord to work on some of that stuff that we're dealing with. Maybe we can take a couple of minutes and pray for someone else. So everybody seated, if you could just hold the hand of the person next to you. And with every head bowed, just reverence before the Lord. And ask Him to say, God, I want those promises. God, I want those promises. How do I apply the promises to my life? How do I even begin to forgive someone? You don't know. You don't understand. You don't know what it's like. And He's saying, but I do. I did it on the cross for you. Everything He bore on that cross, that He is no longer there anymore, is a reminder that coming to the cross is a reminder to say, Jesus, thank You for healing me. Thanks for fixing me. Thank You for tweaking my inabilities. Thank You for helping me with that hurt of stuff that happened to me so long ago that I have been carrying for so long. Thank You for stuff that happened this morning in the house before I came to church. You want the person on your right or your left to pray for you, just squeeze their hand. Let them know. You don't got to tell them nothing. They don't need to know the story. They don't need to know nothing. They just need to know that there is a human touching a human and saying in church, please pray for me. Holy Spirit, with every hand that's been squeezed, with the person's hand that's been squeezed, God, we just ask You to pray. We ask You to touch each life. Just go ahead and pray for them right now. Just pray. Just out loud. Just say, God, help my friend on my right or help my sister or brother on my left. Holy Spirit, come and touch their lives. Holy Spirit, come and minister to their lives. To help work on, to help challenge, to help change, to help fix and tweak. God, You are so big and so wonderful that You came to show us a gospel of love, for You so loved the world that You sent Your only begotten Son that whosoever would believe. I believe today, God. We believe by holding hands and squeezing and say, I believe I need prayer. I believe I need help. I believe I need to get free of this stuff that's latched on to me. I got to get free of it. Help me get free. Father, in your precious name, we are so grateful for the Holy Spirit to come and work in our lives today. We thank you for all the kids at Bakerview Christian School and the teachers. We thank you, Lord, for this county, that you put this church in this county right where it belongs, and we're here to be a light set on a hill that those that need light will run to it and find favor in you. They'll find salvation in you. They'll find healing in you. That people hear, Lord, that their healing is coming and they're saying, I want to help. Just like Sky said, I got to get plugged in. I got to find my place in the church. I want to help. We're all going to keep our hearts right. We're going to be quick to forgive. And we're going to stay teachable. Amen. So I want to tell you a story. Just one last story. You okay with one last story? Just one? You know what? I'll tell this story another time. Do I have time for one more story? Okay, so one more story. Okay, so there's this little girl. She was about... How old are you, honey? How old is she? How old are you? That's the age. That's how old she is. She was 5 years old. I'm serious. She was 5 years old. And she went grocery shopping with her mom. You ever gone into the grocery store and they have that kind of half aisle, depending on the grocery store, or full aisle? Well, they got every toy that's worth, 22 cents and they sell it for $3.99. You ever been down that aisle? Well, this little girl went walking down the aisle. Mom was rushing past it because she knows what happens every time they go down that aisle. She made a mistake that day. And that little girl, she's looking up and down and up and down. And she spots it. She sees the toy she wants. And she can't reach it. And so she's reaching and she's reaching. Mama's turning around the corner. She knows Mom's going to be yelling soon. And she's reaching and she finally gets it off the face and pulls it off. And there she is. She's like, oh man, I better catch up with my mom. And so she goes running around the corner and she catches up to Mama. Mama, look what I got. Look what I got. My favorite toy, Mama, please, 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 can I? She was one of those smart kids that just kind of walk up to the cart and throw it into the cart and walk away, and then hope that Mama don't pay, look at it, and pay for it later, So how did that get in there? She was one of those kids, she had to hold on it and look at it and stare at it. Man, it was a beautiful gift, man. It was just something she wanted. And her mama said, so, do you have money for that gift, honey? I have a dollar. Well, how much is it? I don't know, Ma, I can't read. And it said $2.99. So you got a dollar and you need $2.99. Well, I tell you what, you can do some chores around the house. Then we can go and buy it. Man, a week goes by, $2.99. I need another dollar. Another week goes by, and then the girl says, she's got enough money, man. First thing, they bolted down to that aisle. Man, because they put it back up there because she couldn't put it up there. She just laid it down here because, the holes they put on the top of the peg, she couldn't get it back up there. So she left this, but she got down there and she got up there again. She pulled it out. She come running back to her mommy and said, Mommy, I got it. I get it. I got it. I got it. And they took it home and she took all the packaging. She laid it on her bed next to her nightstand with some wrappers and stuff. They put $32 in packaging around the 22 cent toy, right? So she had all that laid out and she had it there and Daddy came home. Man, she grabbed that and she said, Daddy, look what I got. Look what I got. I paid for it on my own. Look what I got. Putting her to bed. She's clenching her thing all nice and tight. Holding on to it. Oh, look what I got. Look what I got, Daddy. And Daddy comes up to her and says, Honey, do you love me? Yes, Daddy. Of course. Will you give me your toy? Nah. I'll pay for this toy on my own. Do you know how much this means to me? Another night comes by and Daddy's putting her to bed and she's holding on to her toy. She's so proud of that toy. Honey, do you love me? Yes, Daddy, you know I love you. Can I have your toy? No, Daddy, you can't have my toy. I told you last night. A few more days go by and the same thing. Can I have your toy, honey? No, you can't have my toy. Okay. Number of days, possibly weeks goes by and Daddy comes up to the room to put her to bed. And there she's sitting on the edge of her bed, just sitting there, and she's holding her toy with open palms now. Daddy comes in, sits right next to her and says, "What's the matter, honey?" And she says, "Daddy, I want you to have my toy." And she hands her toy to her daddy. Her daddy reaches in her other pocket and gives her another toy that was brand new and real. It wasn't fake. It wasn't worth 22 cents. It was worth $200. And she's like, "What are you doing? You take my toy and you give me..." "Daddy, Mama's going to kill you." She didn't say that. But isn't that just like God?
Yeah.
Can I have your heart? No. You can't have my heart. Me and my heart, we stick close together. It's just like God, isn't it? Okay, no problem. And as soon as we're willing to give it up, here you go, Daddy. What does He give us? Brand new heart. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Heart of flesh for a heart of stone. Isn't God good?
All the time.
All the time. So let's pray and then let's eat, okay? Now I want you to know, if anybody here would like my wife and I or Larry or Gerald's family or Sky to pray with you guys, just yank on our sleeve and say, "Hey, give us the wink. Pray for me." I've got to need no stories. You know what? God knows everything. We're just going to agree in prayer with you, okay?
Amen.
Amen. Father, we come before You and surrender our lives. We come and give You our hearts and say, "Take our heart of stone and please give us back a heart of flesh like You promised." We thank You for all these things, Lord. We're so grateful. We're learning how to love a big God in this little world. In my little world. We thank You for all these things now in Your precious name. Everyone said,
amen.
Amen. God bless everybody.
Thank you, Paul.